This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, friends, good evening. Shalom Aleichem, we're continuing in Daf HaShavua, we're learning Maseches Nedarim, Daf Lamed. The Gemara brought a Machlokes on Chaf Ches Amud Beis regarding if somebody said that something should be holy until the sapling should be holy, until he cuts it down, or the towel should be holy until it's burnt up. Bar Pada is of the opinion, Padan Chayzreis V'Koychayz. Padan Chayzreis V'Koychayz. If you redeem it, its sanctity returns. If you redeem it, its sanctity returns. Ula was of the opinion that after you cut it down, you don't need to redeem it. There was a question whether Ula disagrees with Bar Pada regarding whether it's Chayzreis V'Koychayz or not. Rav Moshe Kartabi, who was one of the Rishonim of the Ran, quoted five lines from the bottom on Chaf Ches Amud Beis, was of the opinion, and that Ula argues on Bar Pada. However, the simple way of learning is that they agree regarding Chayzreis V'Koychayz. So Yosef Rav Abin Rav Yitzchak, three lines from the bottom on Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Rav Abin and Rav Yitzchak, Berevi, the son of Rebbe, Kamed Rav Yirmiyah. They were, Rav Abin and Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rebbe, were sitting before Rav Yirmiyah. And Rav Yirmiyah was dozing off. V'kamanam named Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah was dozing. Yasi v'ka'amri, they were sitting and they said, Lebar Pada. According to Bar Pada, the Amar, Padan, Chayzreis V'Koychayz, that Bar Pada says that if you redeem it, then the sanctity returns, because by saying that it should be holy until you cut it down, that implies that even if you redeem it, it would its kedusha would come back. So according to that opinion, Tivshoit Debayr of Oshia, you should be able to bring a definitive ruling to the question the Rabbi Oshia had. What did Rabbi Oshia ask? Meaning, Tivshoit Debayr of Oshia, you should be able to bring a proof to the question the Rabbi Oshia asked. Rav Oshia asked, "Hanoisin shtei prutos leisha, if you give two coins to a woman, v'amar lan, you say to her, ba'achas haskat sheli hayom, with one of the coins, marry me today. Uva'achas, and with one haskat sheli l'achar she'agar shich, marry me after I divorce you." He said, "Look, I'm going to marry you now. I plan on divorcing you, and then I'm going to remarry you. You know, there's a joke, as a zivik sheni, you're pretty good." Okay, so he says, "I'm going to marry you now, I'm going to divorce you, and then I'm going to remarry you." So is that an effective kedushin? Rav Oshia wanted to know whether that's an effective kedushin, because think about it. At the time that you're marrying her and you're handing it to her, you're able to effectuate a kedushin later. However, at the time you are married to her, you can't marry her again because you're married to her. So there is going to be a time that separates you from the ability to marry her, namely when you're married to her. So could you give a woman money now, and one of the coins will be effective now, and the other one will be effective after he divorces her? So Hachanami de have a kedushi. We should learn out from Bar Pada that it's a good kedushin. Why? Because according to Bar Pada, you're saying that I'm makdish this sapling now, and by saying it should be holy until you cut it down, you're saying, and after I redeem it, it should be holy again. Now, at the time it was holy the first time, you can't be makdish it. But there'll be a time that you'll redeem it, and then you should be able to makdish it again. So isn't it comparable that just like you could say, I'm makdish something now for after I redeem it, so shouldn't you be able to say, I'm marrying you now for after I divorce you? So all of a sudden, when Rabbi Yirmiyah woke up, he thought he was having a nightmare. Itar Bahu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah woke up. Amar Lahu, he said, what are you talking about? You know, back in the day, sleep did not preclude you from following the shir. Could you compare where he redeemed it to where others redeemed it? You see, I could be makdish something now for after I redeem it. However, because even at the time, I could be makdish something now for after I redeem it. But could you be makdish something for after someone else redeems it? Because telling a woman, I'm marrying you now after I divorce you, that's not analogous to I'm makdish something now for after I redeem it. That's analogous to I'm makdish something now for after someone else redeems it. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Pida'an hu, if he redeems it, chayzoy sukdoishes, it could become holy again. Pida'am achirim, if others redeem it, ein chayzoy sukdoishes, it doesn't become holy again. Why? Because when someone else redeems it, then he no longer, he loses the ability to be makdish it again. So, just because if you redeem something, just because you could be makdish something for after you redeem it, that's because when you redeem it, you didn't lose the capacity to be to re-sanctify it. Ma she'in kein, when someone else redeems it. So therefore, just because you could sanctify something for after you redeem it, that doesn't mean you could sanctify something for after someone else redeems it. After all, when someone else redeems it, at that point of time, you lose the ability to re-sanctify it. So marrying a woman for after you divorce her is analogous to where someone else redeems it. The isha kipidu acherim damya. And a woman, someone who, the case of a woman is like where other people redeem the hekdesh. The isha kipadu acherim damya. It bar nami, amrav ami, amrav yoichran. Lo ishanu ela shepadan hu. The din that it becomes holy after you redeem it is when you redeem it. Alva pada'am achirim, if others redeem it, ein chayzoy sukdoishos, it does not become holy again. Now, one interesting ha'ara is that the Gemara is asking this question on Bar Pada, but the Ran learned that Ula agreed Padai Chayzois V'Kaychois. Ula was only arguing whether Kedusha Paka Bechdi. He wasn't arguing on whether if you redeem it, if it becomes holy again. This seems to be a raya to the Shita of what we brought earlier of on Chav Chesam Ad Beis, the Shita of the Chacham Gadol of Moshe Kartabi, that in fact, according to Ula, im padai enoi chayzois v'kaychois. Okay, let's see the Ran over here. Tivshait deboi rav. Iboi hachanami dehave kedushi. Dechi hechi de amar b'masnisin sheyachal lahakdosh netiyos halolu la'achar sheyiftu. Just like we say in the Mishnah that you could be makdish netiyos after the redeemed, the chayla kedusha alay on the kedusha schal on them. Even though you weren't makdish it achar pidyon, just like Bar Pada holds, you could be makdish something now for after you redeem it. Even though after you redeem it, you're not going and being makdish it. Hachanami chayli kedushi. So too, kedushin shebichal ki amar. When you say laachar sheagar shich, after I divorce you, even though after he divorces her, he's not marrying her again. Laishanu ela shepedam hu. We did not learn only where he redeemed it. Why? Dekivan depedam hu. Since he redeemed it. So let's try to get the distinction. What would the difference be if he redeemed it or if others redeemed it? If he redeems it, ula oilam layatsu netiyos halolam ishus hektish, oimer shusai. So these saplings never left the domain of Hektish or his rishus. So either he sanctified it, he said, after I redeem it, it should be sanctified. At the time he redeems it, it's in his rishus. When he sanctified it, it's in Hektish's rishus. It never left either one of their two rishuyas. So din hu sheyu chayzos hu kedushas. It's reasonable that it should be holy again. Aval padam achirim, but if others, aval padam achirim, if others redeemed it, afilu hichnisim achar kach l'rshusai, even if he bought it afterwards, ein chayzos u'kedushos, it would not be sanctified again. In other words, let's say a guy said, I want this to be holy until the saplings are cut, and someone else redeemed it, and then he bought it, maybe they would not be holy again. Why? As soon as others redeemed it, nestalik rishus balim harishayna mehem, the possession of the first owners departed. V'kivan dahi shata yef shel hektish sheyachal lehen, since at that moment it was impossible for the hektish to be chal on them. Basar shatanami, later also, when it comes back into his rishus loichayel, meaning the fundamental difference between whether he redeems it or others is when he redeems it, there was never a time that it was either not in Hektish's rishus or in his rishus. So since he had control the whole time, it's reasonable that the Hektish, the Kedusha, returns when it comes back into his rishus. Masha'in came when somebody else redeemed it. At that point of time, when it's in someone else's rishus, he has no capacity and control over it anymore. So maybe, since there was a time where he lost any control over it, it does not revert back when it comes back into his rishus. And when you divorce a woman, in a sense, it's not in your rishus. What does that mean? Let's see the Ran. V'isha nami kibdu achirim dami lefi shemiyad shenizgarsha. Yoitzes Rishus Habal Lershusa. It leaves the Rishus of the Baal and it goes into her Rishus. Ve'en Kedushin Chalan Aleha. And the Kedushin is not Chal on her.
But when she's holding the money, can somebody else now come and do Kedushin with her or not? Is this like that, some type of an insurance?
Was that what?
You have a lock on her. You have a lock on her because you already gave her the money. Somebody else now come and take her after he divorces her?
So
he had like a hold on.
In the case where he says, I'm marrying you after I divorce you? Now the Gemara is saying, in that case, maybe the marriage does not come back. Why? Because it's like other people redeemed the Hektish where it leaves the Rishus of the husband. She leaves the Rishus of the husband. Maybe the Kedushin does not revert. Now there's a very important lamdos here in the Ran, which is this is an unauthorized Ran, but we're going to do it anyway. V'kashali, the Ran says it's very difficult to me. Adarabba, isha lepadon hu damya. A woman, it's like you redeemed her. Why? Shekashem shenatiyos halalu, just like these saplings. Lefi she'enon yoytzeis mershus hektish. Oy mershusai, never leaves the rishus of hektish or his rishus. Matzi l'akto shenu la'achar sheyiftu. He could sanctify it after he redeems it. So this woman also, either kach ishazu kivan she'ena yoytzer rishus habal, either she's in the rishus of the husband, oy mershus atzma, or in her own rishus. So doesn't it make sense? Bedinhu shetehi chaylas gadesh me'ata afil achar shetesgarish. Why would a woman be like Padu Acherim? You see, Padu Acherim is, first it's in my rishus, then it's in Hekdesh's Rishus, but then it goes into someone else's Rishus. Padai Atzmai, it's either in my Rishus or Hekdesh's Rishus. So by a woman also, it's either in the Baal or in the woman. So the Ran says, this is an epic Ran, and we saw this Ran quoted yesterday in the Avnei Miluim, actually. The Ran says, so in other words, either she's in the husband's rishus or in her own rishus, so shouldn't the kedushin revert back? V'nichali, di imatzia isha lekadesh atzma leish. If a woman had the capacity to marry herself to a man, hachanami dehavi hi dumia demakdesh natias mamish, then it would be like sanctifying the saplings. Elokimen sha Torah amra, but the Torah says, ki yikach ish isha. It says a man takes a woman. V'loi amra, it doesn't say, ki silakach isha l'ish, a woman is taken by a man. Loi kol himna shetachnes atzim shesabal. She has no ability to hand herself over to the husband. That's how we say in Kedushin. Amra hi, if she says, hareini mures eslach, ein v'dvarem amish, it's meaningless. So how does Kedushin work? If she's not giving herself over, how does Kedushin work? When a woman consents to the Kedushin of the man, she sublimates and is mevatel her das and her ratzain. And she makes herself to the husband like ownerless. The woman doesn't give herself over to the man. The woman renders herself ownerless, and the man takes her. You hear how marriage works? If only. But she doesn't give herself over. She renders herself ownerless, and then the man comes and acquires her. Hilkach in anu donim bekedushin mitzara isha. We never view marriage from the perspective of the woman, elamitzar habal, but rather from the perspective of the husband. Ulegabe bal and legabe the husband, kipedua. So now, you see, if we viewed marriage from the perspective of the woman, so we could say, lady, you're either in your own rishus or in the husband's rishus. So why shouldn't the kedushin revert? Meaning, first you gave yourself over to the husband, then you went into your own rishus, so you should be able to give yourself back. But the way we view kedushin is mitzad the baal and legabe the baal. When he divorces her, it's like others redeemed her. Dibe kedushin rishonim hiber shusai. With the initial marriage, she's in his rishus. Achar gerushin yoytzim rishusa. She leaves his rishus. Shemachi lo metzin lemishad gabi kedushin dechayle mipadon hu. You can't prove that kedushin works just like if he redeems her. Delei damyan ukidekasivna. It's not similar to where he redeems her. It's not similar to where he redeems Hekdesh, because when he redeems Hekdesh, it's either in his rishus or in Hekdesh's rishus. Basically, you see, there's a domain called Hekdesh. So either it's by me or it's by Hekdesh. So if I want to say I want the Hekdesh to work after it's not in my rishus, I have the right to do that. But by marriage, it's not either in his rishus or in marriages. It's either his or someone else's. In a way, it's like achirim. So you say, well, in that case, then just like padai achirim, it's not chal. Why don't we prove that marriage is not chal? In other words, why don't we take it the other way? Why don't we say, since Rabbi Yochanan said that if padam achirim, Einon chayzrois k'dushois, so why don't we prove definitively by marriage that if he divorces her, it won't be chal? No, it's not exactly like that case either. Umi pedom acherim nami loy matzinel mifshal. We can't prove from padan acherim doy chayli Mishum deloy dami nami legamri. It's not similar to that completely. Because even though the woman doesn't give herself over to the husband, but a little bit she does. It's in some capacity she does. Da'acha isha gam kein machneses asa l'shusay b'miktsas. She's giving herself over a little bit. It's more fundamentally, she's just rendering herself ownerless. So since she's just rendering herself ownerless, in that sense, it's like padai achirim. But in the sense that she's giving herself for marriage, in that sense, it's like padan atzmai. So it's like a quasi in between. So you can prove from the fact that padai atzmai, the kedusha is chal, that by marriage it should be chal, because by marriage it's not quite like padai atzmai. You can prove that by, just like padam achirim, it's not chal, by marriage it should not be chal, because it's not completely like padai achirim. Marriage is somewhere in between padai atzmai and padai achirim. Okay, now we have a new topic. Okay, a very interesting topic. The Eon segment will be on this. If it's okay, we'll do a short Eon piece on this tonight, because I'm not going to be here this coming Sunday. Okay? Says the Mishnah, Hanoider miyardei hayam, mutter biyoshei hayabasha. Someone who makes a neder, I ask her myself, all seafarers, he's permitted, and those who live on the dry land. Because the guy is only answering sailors and people in the Navy. He's not answering people live on the dry land. People who live on the dry land are not included in people who live in the sea. But Miyoshai Yabasha, if he answers people who live on the dry land, then Asr Miyarde Ayam, he's ushered to the seafarers as well. Shayarde Ayam Bechal Yoshai Yabasha, those who go down to the sea are included in those who live on the dry land, because ultimately they're going to have to come back to the dry land. You know, they can't stay there. They're not going to be able to stay there forever. Why? Sheyardei hayam bechlal yoshei hayabasha. Those who go down to sea are included in those who live in the dry land. But the Gemara says, lo ke'ilu shehochen me'ako liyafa. We're not talking about those who go from Akko to Yafa, from one port to another. Ela b'misha darki lefarish. We're talking about people who go longer distances. The question is, what exactly does this mean? We're not talking about those who go from Akko to Yafa, but rather those who go on longer distances. Rav Papa, Rav Acha, Brei. Let's see the Ran. Mutter b'yoshei yabasha. Ba'oison she'enin regilim. Lios yarde hayam banias. So those who don't typically go on the sea on boats. Someone who asks for seafarers is not usher to those who go on boats. Miyoshre yabasha usher biyarde hayam. Afilu heim achshav. So if you ask for yoshre yabasha, you're usher in yarde hayam. Afilu heim achshav biyam. Even those who are now on the sea, why should soifel alois liyabasha? Eventually, going to go to the dry land. Can the first time of the Gemara? V'loy ke'elu ha'ochem me'akol yafom. The first Gemara hechikai. Now the rest of the runs are going on Amud Beis. The rest of the runs up to the Gemara are going on Amud Beis. The Gemara has one simple question. What in the world is this last statement, not like those that go from Akko to Yafo, but rather those who go far distances? Says the Gemara, Rav Papa, Rav Acha, Breid, Rav Ika. There's a machlokes, Rav Papa, Rav Acha, Breid, Rav Ika. Chad Masniya, Reisha. One learns this statement is going on the Reisha, but Chad Masniya, Seifa, one learns it's going on the Seifa. Manda Tani, Reisha, the one that learns it on the Reisha. Masni Hachi learns like this. Hayinoider miyarde hayam, one who makes a neder for the on those who go down to the sea. Mutter biyoshve yabasha is permitted to those who live in the dry land. But they're usr to the yarde hayam. Habi yarde hayam usr. But only real Yardei Hayam. V'loi ke'elu ha'holchim me'akol yafo. Not like those who go from Akor yafo. You're not usher to them. When we say that if you usher seafarers, you're mutter to the dry land people, but you're usher to the seafarers, we're talking about real seafarers, not people who just take a short trip from Akor yafo. Why? The halin yoshayabashanenu. Those are considered dwelling on the dry land. So that's a very lenient opinion, that it's going on the Reisha. Then in the Reisha, when you asr the Yardei Hayam, your mutter, and the Yoshe Yabasha, you're also mutter to some Yardei Hayam, namely those who don't really travel too far. The Ran says, Chad tani la aresha, laha detnan loy ke'elu ha'hocha me'akal yafo, desrile aresha koi, ulakula. Because those who go from Akor Yafo, the Halin Yoshve Yabashaninu, they're dwellers of the dry land. Mishamahu Purta, that little amount, the Hainume Akor Yafo, Shehin Kroivin Zelazeh, they're very close. They're so close. Lay Mikru Yardei Hayam. It's very close travel. That's not called Yardei Hayam. And then the Gemara continues. The one who learns it on the Sefer learns like this. Not like those who go from Akor Yafo, Bovad. Even someone who it's their way to spread out. Meaning, it's L'chumra. In the Seifa, when it says, if you aser, people who live on the dry land, you're aser in the Yardei Abam, Yardei Hayam, not only those who go from Akor Yafo, but even those who go a very far distance, since they're eventually going to go to the dry land, they are aser. So it's a chumrah. It's even those who are mefaresh. The Ran says, v'chatani la aseifa. What about those who go from Akor Yafo? Certainly that's Aser. I'm sorry. Those who go from Akor Yafo in the Reisha, Hanoi de Yardei Hayam, Aser Yardei Hayam, right? Hanoi de Yardei Hayam, Mutter Mi Yoshe Hayabasha. But you would be usher to those who go from Akor Yafo, v'chinami afilo hochem me'akor yafo b'chlau Yardei Hayam, midulay parish midi areisha, because nothing was explained on the Reisha. We go l'chumra, like the opinion that this comment is going on the Seifa, namely that if you usher Yabasha people, you're usher to the Yam, even those who go travel far out. The Ran brings an interesting shaila. What about somebody who just travels on a one-day trip? We're gonna talk about that in a moment. But that's daf chaf. That's daf lamed amud aleph. Tomorrow lamed amud beis, and. If you give me a few minutes, just want to share with you one interesting point here on this last sugya. Give me 1 minute, I'll bring it up on the screen.
Recording stopped.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.